So for Parshas Vayishlach, if you take a look in Perek Lamed Beis on page 78 in the Blue Chumashim, when in Pasuk Ches, we could start even in Pasuk Zion, the messages come back to tell Yaakov that Esav is on his way with 400 strong people, you know, like military power. It says that Yaakov's response, his reaction was in Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayira Yaakov Miot.
He was very frank.
Now, this is not so simple, because let's turn back to page 67, which is last week's parasha, and that's Perek Chof Ches of Sefer Bereishis. And if you take a look at the entire parasha, we'll focus in on perhaps one pasuk on the top of page 67, as pasuk Tezvav, but the whole parasha indicates that Hashem promises
Shmira.
Right, he promises Yaakov that he'll protect him, B'chol Asher Telech. That's what it says. Did Yaakov have any doubts about the divine promise? Here's another copy then, because that might be Michael's, I don't know.
No?
No? Oh, so you have another copy, David. Very good. So we have here a very famous statement of Chazal, which Rashi quotes in his Pirish al Torah on Vayira Ma'od, Vayira Yaakov, and that is Shema Yigrom HaChet. And that's going to be a major problem for us, because why is Yaakov overwhelmed by fear? So we'll talk about time T1 and time T2. Time T1 is back when he left Vayetze Yaakov Mibar Sheba, and Hashem gave him a promise. And time T2 is Vayira Yaakov Mod, now that Esav is on his way to Yaakov with 400 strong men. And Yaakov is afraid that somehow between time T1 and time T2, somewhere in the middle between Avtoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the actual Kiyum, the fulfillment of that promise, he may have been guilty of sin. And as a result of that sin, the original promise that Yaakov received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer valid. It's almost as if, according to Rashi's interpretation, and again, it's not an original Rashi. Rashi's basing it on Chazal. Despite the divine promise which Yaakov received in that very powerful and profound dream, maybe that promise is conditional. I can give you what's called a Havtoch al Atnai. I mean, all of Shas is full of these kinds of things, where I enter into an agreement with you and I promise you X or whatever it might be on the condition that something comes to pass. I mean, every legal system has conditions. Am I correct?
Usually.
So here too, you know, the nevuah, the prophecy and the promise of Hashem to Yaakov Avinu that's recorded here at the beginning of Vayetze is conditional. Although, again, the condition was not spelled out, but Yaakov understood that there was a condition built in. And that is that Yaakov continued in his ways. And of course, the ways of Yaakov are ways of goodness, of kindness, of justice, of morality, etc. But if there would be chas v'shalom sin, then that would undermine and invalidate the original promise, because that would indicate that the condition was not fulfilled. And all that sounds fine, except for a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara Brachos on Daf Zayin, which you'll see here on your second paragraph, presents a thesis, a principle, which is very, very fundamental. And although, again, the Gemara doesn't mention a word about Yaakov, but it would seem that if we apply that principle to Yaakov, Yaakov should have nothing to worry about. Because Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Zayin in Brachos says in the name of Rabbi Yossi, called Dibur V'Dibur She'yotza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova, Afilu al tnai lo chazer bo. Now let's understand that Rabbi Yochanan is assuming a classification, and there are two categories. categories that are fundamentally different and should be contrasted one to the other, two categories of nevuah, of dibur, of divine speech and divine promise. One is called litova, and obviously what's going to be the other one? What's the opposite of litova?
Lera.
And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the name of Rabbi Yossi is that there's a fundamental difference. If the nevuah is lera, then it could be rescinded. What would be a classical, I'll give you a hint, in a certain book of Tanakh, which we read on Yom Kippur, there would be a great example of a nevuah lera, which was actually rescinded, it was revoked.
Nineveh,
exactly, excellent. So in the case of Nineveh, Yonah was sent with a message to the king of Nineveh that Nineveh will be destroyed because of its sin. And in fact, Nineveh was not destroyed, or at least not at that point in history. And the reason for that is because the people of Nineveh did
tshuva.
That's why we read it on Yom Kippur, because of the power of tshuva. That's as far as the nevuah lera'ah is concerned. Our sugya today is not focused on a nevuah lera'ah, but rather on a nevuah litova. And Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi that even if the nevuah litova was given on condition, and even if that condition would not be fulfilled, nevertheless the nevuah is absolutely binding. And we'll have to see why. And how do we know this? How did Rabbi Yossi come to such a radical conclusion that even though God stipulated a condition, and even though that condition was never fulfilled, despite that fact, the nevuah, the promise, will be fulfilled? And he derives it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if you'll open up to the Chumash here, Dvarim Tes, and I'll tell you what page it's on in these Chumashim, we're looking in Dvarim Tes, Pasuk Yudalid. It's always kedai to see it inside. This is on page 456. You have that? Mm-hmm. And Hashem is involved in a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu, which took place actually in Sefer Shmos, but it's reiterated in Sefer Dvarim. The actual dialogue took place in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem says that He decided to destroy the people of Israel. And there's Moshe Rabbeinu standing and pleading on behalf of the people of Israel. And Hashem's response is Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayomer Hashem Elai Leimor Ra'isi Es Ha'am Hazeh Ve'hineh Am Kshei Oref, who, you know, in a sense Hashem is saying that I've thrown in the towel, I've given up Sarum Mayim and Aderech, there's no chance to continue this experiment and create this glorious nation. They're not going to live up to the demands, and therefore I will destroy them. And you know what? Eseh Oscha L'Goy Gadol, I am going to make you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the father of a goy atzum v'rav mimenu. Now, it's a funny kind of thing. Hashem is saying that, look, if I destroy the people, then I will make you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the father of a great nation. So obviously, this wonderful tiding on behalf of divine promise, on behalf of Moshe to be the father of a great nation, that's conditional. Conditional on the fact that, you know, God, so to speak, dumps one nation and substitutes the new nation for the old one. But in fact, that condition never came to pass. Rabbi Yossi asks the question, as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's plea and his supplication to God on behalf of the Jewish people, he, Moshe, was successful in destroying that gzerah. Nevertheless, ukme bezare, God created a glorious, gigantic nation for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how do we know this? You know, you and I might not have a clue about this. Where does it say anywhere that Moshe was the father of a great nation? So Rabbi Yossi quotes a pasuk at the end of Tanakh that, okay, maybe you studied all of Tanakh. I didn't. I have to admit the truth. You know, where I went to yeshiva, they didn't put enough emphasis on Tanakh, and I'm still try to do, what do they call it in paddling, you know, back paddling, is that what it's called? In any event, in Divrei HaYamim, it says, Ubnei Moshe, amongst the children of Moshe, were Gershom ve'Eliezer. Now look at this. Ubnei Eliezer, amongst the children of Eliezer, the grandchildren of Moshe, were Rechavia and Rosh. Harosh. And the children of Rechavia, the Pasuk tells us, again, Rechavia, the son of Eliezer, the son of Moshe, Rabu Lamala. Now, what do those words mean, Rabu Lamala? Literally, if you look at the English translation, they'll say that they had a great number, you know, a really high number on the Richter scale, but the Gemara interprets it a little bit differently. Rabu Lamala, the main number for any great mass of people, believe it or not, is always the number Shishim Ribi, 600,000. And if it says Rabu Lamala, it means they were more, that were greater multitudes than Lamala, than the highest number of multitudes, as far as the Jewish nation is concerned, which is 600,000. So it means that from Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, by the name of Rechavia, I don't know if any of you live in Rechavia? Nobody here lives in Rechavia. But I mean, you spend some time in Rechavia, don't you?
Yes, sometimes.
You do, yeah. It's a good place to go to, Rechavia.
Rabbi Ryan.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. You go here.
Rabbi Wein has a shul there, no?
Yes, with Eliyahu's brother.
Yeah, and there's a great restaurant there. But okay, I'm not giving any, they don't give me any commissions here, but...
What's the great restaurant? The sushi one?
No. No, there's a Milchka restaurant called Green.
Green.
I mean, again, it's hard for me to recommend it because you can't get a seat there. if you're interested in standing room only. But it's great. I mean, they have an orange soup there that's like the best, you know. Anyway, so Rechavia is named after the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Tanakh testifies about this grandson that he was the father of multitudes that exceeded beyond Shishim Ribui, which is exactly beyond the number of the Jewish people. So as it turns out, God's promise to Moshe Rabbeinu was actually fulfilled. And even though that was a conditional promise, it was based on the fact that God would substitute a new nation for the old nation, but he never followed through with his original decree.
It's hard to say if that's like a good prediction or a nevuah or a bad nevuah, no?
I guess for Moshe Rabbeinu it's good.
For us it would be bad.
Right. But as far as Moshe receiving a promise that he would father a great nation, you know, that's a great thing for Moshe. Of course, the condition is not great for Moshe, and he's not interested in the deal.
Not great for us, right?
But what it, well, you never know, David. Maybe you'd be Ben Moshe. I don't know. You know, maybe you and I would be. You know, we'd be. We name our kids Rechavia. You know.
Only if you're Levine.
All right.
That's true. How would I become? How would I become a Levi? Right. Yeah. That's good. That's a good point. If I paid enough money, maybe. Okay. Anyway.
Why do you need to even come on to this? Because the promise of Hashem to Yaakov was not conditional. So why do we need to even be worried about it?
No, what we're saying is the following. Just imagine that Yaakov Avinu understood in his mind that there was an implicit condition, Solzayin Azad. But that's not going to answer your problem, because even if I grant you that premise that there was an implicit condition, Yaakov, you know, I'm not granting you the world and all this protection simply because your name is Yaakov. You've got to live up to a certain standard. I have expectations for you, Yaakov, and if you fall below that, I'm not willing to offer you this protection. Even if I grant you that that's not only the way Yaakov understood the promise, but that is what Hashem was saying, even if Hashem said those words, in the light of Rav Yossi's statement in Brachos Tavzayin, it would be irrelevant. Moshe received this promise and God fulfilled this promise, despite the fact that the condition did not come to pass. Yaakov received this promise, he would be protected, and specifically from Esav, and therefore, even if the condition was that Yaakov, you have to remain, you know, with a perfect record, even if you had fallen below that perfect record, nevertheless, the divine promise is binding. And Rabosa, if I can give you just a little bit of a preview of coming attractions, what we're about to get into is that this principle of Rabbi Yossi, that any divine promise litova will be fulfilled, is the basis for our belief in nevuah, in prophecy in general, and our basis for belief in Torah itself. If you question for one moment the principle of Rabbi Yossi, chas v'shalom, forget about the whole Torah. It all goes down. Because the Torah itself says that there are going to be prophets who are false prophets. And they will come, you know, and we know in history that such a thing came to pass. How do you know who is a true prophet? Now, if the prophet tells you something terrible is going to happen and it doesn't actually happen, do you know that he's a false prophet? No, because in Nevuah LaRah is Hashem Chozer Bo. God could have changed his mind. So we, at this point in time, if we're only covering a Nevuah LaRah, then we have no way, there's no system by which we could ever clarify and determine that this Navi is a false prophet. In which case we don't know and we have no reason to trust any Navi. The answer is, the only test case, the only way that we can apply some sort of barometer and figure out whether this guy's a no good liar and he's a false prophet or he's a true reliable prophet is going to have to be a Nevuah Letova. And if this Nevuah Letova does not come to pass, then we take the Navi, we put him to death, and now we have a system by which we can clarify who is a real, genuine, reliable prophet. And that's going to justify the entire Torah. So the only way we could test the prophet out is by asking him for a Nevuah Letova, if he claims he has one, and we're going to check and see whether this Nevuah Letova comes to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, then he's a Navi Sheker. Now, why is he a Navi Sheker? You know why it didn't come to pass? Because we didn't live up to those standards, because the conditions were not fulfilled. The answer is that despite the conditions, the Nevuah al kol panim will come to pass. That is the nature of a Nevuah Letova by its very definition, and that's going to lead us back to our original question. How could Yaakov have entertained the possibility that the Nevuah that he got from Hashem would not come to pass? Hashem says, "Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech." So let's see it inside. I like to teach from a text. So he says, "Shemen nomar." And if you'll tell me, "Shasugya shnia eino soter surishon basher sham lo yechid klalu klalitz u'mishpachas Moshe achrei atkufa ba nemra nevuah v'achidish besugyu rak beinyan tnai sheu batel letova kiyum nevuah." He says, maybe, like Michael was implying before, maybe the sugya there is talking about a tnai. And if there was a tnai, Hashem says that I will fulfill that nevuah, even if the tnai, even if the condition does not come to reality. But in a case of chet, maybe it's a little different. He says, no, that can't be because of a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah and Navi, which is in the bottom of your page on the right side, he says the following. Even if the recipients of this divine promise sin, nevertheless God will not rescind, he'll make good for his promise. And that's explicit in Yirmiyah and Navi. Ach, says Yirmiyah, Shmano hadover hazeh, listen to my prophecy. Asher anochi dover bi'oznecha u'bi'ozne kala'am hanovi asher yinave l'shalom. Okay, so that old parsha has to do with a certain Novi Sheker by the name of Hananya. Okay, and according to Yirmiyah and Novi, if this prophet will come and tell you there's going to be peace in Israel, when such a prophecy will come your way, you will know who is the true prophet and who is the false prophet. Meaning the way to test this guy, his name happens to be Hananiah in this historical context, and determine that he's a false prophet is the fact that he tells you there's going to be peace in the land. Well, it doesn't make any sense, because even if there was no peace in the land, you could always say, well, that's because the people of Israel sinned. And the pasuk actually records the false prophecy of Hananya, which you'll see on the bottom of your page. It says, Ko amar Hashem, kocha eshbar es ol Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel, b'yod shnatayim. This guy Hananya comes along, and he says, I'm going to destroy the yoke of Bavel of Nebuchadnezzar in two years. Me'al tzavar kol agoyim. And in fact, that didn't happen. On the contrary, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed and defeated the people and sent them into Golos. So why does that prove, in Yirmiyahu's words, that this Hananya is a false prophet? He says, you might say that, look, just like an evil decree, like in the case of Yonah vis-a-vis Nineveh, can be rescinded because of tshuva, you might say, well, let's apply the same yardstick to a nevula tova in the opposite direction, that it could be rescinded based on evil, based on sin. Well, if that be the case, then you'll never be able to establish Hananiah as a false prophet, because you could always say that the reason why this peace did not come about, as he predicted it, was because the Jews failed to live up to their potential, to their requirements. And we find in the Gemara in Shabbos, Omer of Acha Bar Chanina, May Olam Lo Yotza Mida Tova Mipni HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chazul Ra. There was never a case. Again, we have to go through the sugya inside, but basically the Gemara says, the way Rashi interprets it, that whenever Hashem gave a nevuah letova, it always came to pass. And there was never a reversal of that nevuah coming to pass, coming to reality based on sin.
Or a denial of it.
A denial of it. Excellent.
How are we supposed to understand the tradition?
So what's the point of the condition at all? Well, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, what Hashem is saying, look, I'm going to make this deal with you, but even though the condition is that I'll swap one nation for the other, Hashem says, I will, you know, once the words come out of Hashem's mouth, I will make you the father of a great nation, that's binding. That's binding. So the condition really just conveys the concept, but not the reality. In abstract terms, Hashem was saying to Moshe, look, don't get nervous about the destruction of the Jewish people, you'll father a new nation. But once Hashem said those words, you, Moshe, will father a new nation, that's going to come to pass. So the condition is sort of like the conceptual understanding, but in reality, once the Nevuah comes out, Letova, even though it's conditional, it will never be rescinded. And do you... I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't look at the next paragraph, if you look at the next paragraph, then I'm not quizzing you in any way because you know the answer. But if you haven't looked at the next paragraph yet, which, if I want to look in a source, a binding legal body, a text of a source, where would I look for the laws and the rules that govern prophecy and will teach me what I should do as a Jew, how the Jewish nation should be able to determine whether Rabbi X or Mr. X is a true prophet or he's not a true prophet? The Rambam. The Rambam has spent a tremendous amount of time, he has spilled an amazing amount of ink on this issue. Now, you know, the Rambam wrote 14 books called the Yad HaChazaka, or the Mishneh Torah. The first of those books is called the Sefer HaMada, and that book itself is subdivided into six parts. The first part of the first book is called Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the fundamentals of the Torah. And the Rambam dedicates chapter after chapter to formulate the fundamentals of our religion. And there are two full chapters that are dedicated to this question about nevuah, about prophecy. Because ultimately, if you don't accept prophecy, then if you don't accept the fundamental principle that God prophesies to man, communicates to man, then the Torah itself is meaningless, chas v'shalom. And the Rambam says in the 10th parak of Yesodei HaTorah, that divrei parod yoshanavi omer, if the prophet is predicting evil, that's going to befall the people. Imlo amdu dvarav. And those words, those scary, you know, what word am I looking for? Those
threats.
Yeah, not threats. What do you call it? You know, when you're out at sea and all of a sudden it gets dark. What's that called? It's threatening. What's the word I'm looking for?
Premonition.
Okay, I'm looking for a certain word in English. If I don't get it, I just don't get it. But anyway... foreboding kind of word, that kind of word, but that's not the word I'm looking for. But you know, sometimes you see that the sky turns black, you know something terrible is going to happen, there's going to be an awful storm, you know. In any event, even if those dark clouds all of a sudden appear on the horizon,
foreboding,
right, that was the word I wanted, foreboding. And nevertheless, guess what, at the last minute something happens and the clouds disperse and the sun breaks through and shines through, and those foreboding terrible prophecies don't come to pass. Says the Rambam, "Imlo amdu dvarav ein baze hakasha l'nevuaso." Don't think therefore that the prophecy that he gave you was a false prophecy. He told you about some terrible clouds that are gathering on the horizon, and at the end of the day, the sun shines through. The prophecy was a true prophecy, or at least might be a true prophecy. Why? Shakodesh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed v'Nichem al Ara. God might regret the evil that he promised to bring upon man. The Efshar Shasu Tshuva. And in order to prove this, he brings you the Nevuah of Yonah, V'Nislach Lahem Kanshe Ninveh. He gives you another case, Chizkiyah HaMelech. I don't know if you remember this. Yirmiyah had a Nevuah, and he told Chizkiyah, Ki Mesa Tov V'lo Tichyeh.
You're going to die.
Right. And the reason why you're going to die is because Chizkiyah did not get married. Okay, that's a heavy, heavy accusation. Maybe I shouldn't be publicizing that here in the Amic Learning Center. I don't know. We have an issue here. But okay, fine. We got to sort this all out somehow, because we're facing some very great challenges here. But in any event, Chizkiyah was accused of deliberately postponing marriage. Postponing long term. I mean, it wasn't like he, you know, give me another half a year, I'm looking for a girl. That's not what Chizkiyah said. He made a decision that he's committed to remain a bachelor, right, unmarried. And the Navi comes very down on him very hard. And the Gzeru was, Ki Mesa, I tell you, you're going to die. At the end of the day, Chizkiyah was granted a stay of 15 years. And that Nevuah that he will die, which implies that you'll die immediately, did not come to pass, because Chizkiyah got the message and he did tshuva.
And he got married.
What happened. Right. But well, that he knew was going to happen. Exactly. You know, but still Hashem says, Vahari kapshid rachmat alamali, you got to do what you got to do. Hashem commands you to get married, and you can't say, well, you know, my father used to always say that, Baruch Hashem, nobody knows all their ancestors. If anyone here in this room would know all their ancestors going back a few generations, and then he used to list, you know, I won't go into detail about all the types of people that you'd find in your ancestry. You know, it's not like we're all just pedigrees, you know. So this is what happens. And nevertheless, Chizkiyah, by the way, Chizkiyah was one of the greatest people that ever lived. You know, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikesh la'asoso Mashiach, right?
But presumably, even his children had free will. You know, like there's a prediction that they're going to
absolutely
be bad. They're going to be bad, but
absolutely,
and they did become bad. But hopefully, they
and that's why a person cannot make these calculations. You know, and say, well, my descendants are going to be this, am I going to be that? Even if you know it through Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't mean they have freedom of choice, like you say. But your obligation is to not to look into the crystal balls, but to do what you have to do. You know, that I come from a school of thought called Brisk. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But in the Brisk movement, this Gemara about Chizkiyah HaMelech is like the most fundamental Gemara. You have to do what you have to do. You know, people say, you know, again, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I'm not discouraging young girls from lighting Shabbos candles. They want to light Shabbos candles, fine. But don't tell me that if my girls light Shabbos candles, the Mashiach is going to come, and therefore they have to light Shabbos candles. That's not the way we operate. If you have to light Shabbos candles, you're obligated to do so. You do so. Don't start giving me cheshbonis that I do this because it's going to bring the Mashiach. That's not the way we operate. We do what we have to do because we make halachic decisions. You know, my Rebbe wrote a philosophical work called Ish Halacha, the man of halacha. It means halacha becomes part of your very essence. And you do what you do because that you're governed by, regulated by halacha. Don't start telling me, well, you know, this and that, school of Sahin and school of Sahar, that's good for other movements in Yiddishkeit, and we respect everybody, but that's not our approach. We do what we have to do. All right, I got off a little on a tangent. Let's get back to the Rambam. Avalim Iftiach ala Tova. How do you test the Navi, says the Rambam, to see whether he is a true Navi or not? The answer is, he gave a nevuah al hatova. He promised us something good would come about. The amar shiakach v'kach v'lo ba, and heaven forbid, it did not come to pass. Biyadua, we know there's no visheker. Shekol davar tova, any nevuah tova, sheyigzar akel afiu al tnai, eino chozer. God will not rescind that nevuah. It will be fulfilled. L'maritah shebedivrei tova. This is the Rambam's language. Bilvad. Yibachein hanavi. What does yibachein mean?
You test.
Test, exactly. This is the way we test the Navi. We need a litmus test. We got to know. We cannot rely on a so-called prophet until he proves himself. How does he prove himself? Because he tells us what's going to happen litova, and we'll see if it happens. If it does, he's a Navi Emes. If it doesn't, he's a Navi Sheker, and he'll be put to death. And the Rambam quotes Yirmiyahu that we saw before about Hananya, that when Yirmiyahu was prophesying about the destruction and the goals of Klal Yisrael at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and Hananya said, no, everything is fine. You'll see within the next 2 years Nebuchadnezzar is going to be decapitated, you know, and the Jews will exist in peace and harmony. Amalo leChananya, and Yirmiyahu challenges him. He says, "Im lo yamdu dvarai, if my words don't pass, ein bazerayish ani navi sheker." Right? So he said to him, "Avol im lo yamdu dvarecha." No, it's I'm foretelling. Excuse me. Says Yirmiyahu, "I'm foretelling good. I'm foretelling evil for the Jewish people. Right? Goats and destruction. If my nevuah doesn't come to pass, it means that the Jews did tshuva. But you're foretelling good for the people of Israel, peace in the land. If your nevuah doesn't come to pass, you are doomed to be established as a Navi Sheker." And therefore, says the Rambam, I'll just finish up the words of the Rambam, then the floor is yours, Michael. Ach, Shma, Noah, Hadover, Azeh, Navi Asher, Yinavi, L'Sholem, Shalom, a Navi will foretell peace. Bebo, Divre, Adavu, Yadua, Navi Asher, Shalcha, Hashem, B'Emes. If that peace will come to pass and that good nevuah will become a reality, then we know you're a true Navi. Yeah, Michael.
So does that mean that in all the books of Nach, Yishai, Yecheskel, Yirmiyahu, and the Treyasar, that each one of them starts off with a prophecy for good? Because otherwise, how did anybody know that they were actually true prophets?
At some point, I don't know if it's necessarily canonized in the Tanakh. That I can't promise you. I don't know the rules and regulations. It could be that they gave a nevuah l'tova in front of Klal. In other words, what I'm saying is that we should not. Let's say we would count through Tanakh and come up with 100 nevuahs. That's not the cap. You know, that's not the number.
No, but there has to be a good one before anybody will believe that.
No, I'm just saying that. You know, if you want to know how many nevuahs actually were given over the course of Jewish history, that's not the same number as the total number of nevuahs in Tanakh. So what I would suggest is that in order to test out the Navi, at some point the Navi would have to give a nevuah l'tova. I'm not sure if it's canonized in the official Holy Writ. No, I don't know if that's a derech of learning Tanakh.
I think it would ought to be. Otherwise, how did Chazal know that?
Yeah, in other words, I don't know, for example, how Yonah was tested. I'd have to learn the book of Yonah, and there may or may not be an answer in Tanakh itself. You know, there are historical factors that may not have been transmitted in Tanakh. I don't know. In any event, we still have to get back to our question about Yaakov Avinu, right? But first, he wants to point out that when you read this Rambam, you should emphasize the words of the Rambam, Hakchosha l'nevuaso. In other words, the essence of this whole discussion about differentiating between one type of nevuah and another type of nevuah in order to determine whether this Navi is a true Navi or the opposite, all this is because of Hakchosha l'nevuasa. It means that if the nevuah l'tova doesn't come to pass, that the Rambam describes as Hakchosha l'nevuasa. Right? That was the original words of the Rambam on top of the second paragraph on your page, in which Hakchosh l'nevuasa means that the nevuah l'tova didn't come to pass. Right? Kishem she hatshuva mevatels nevuah l'ra, you would have said chet should be mevatel nevuah l'tova, but the Rambam says that if chet would be mevatel and undermine the nevuah l'tova, then we don't know any difference here between the nevuah l'tova and nevuah l'ra, and we have no way of testing and establishing a Navi as a Navi Emes. And therefore, Hagorem, the most important condition or factor, liavchana, to determine whether or not the nevuah belongs to this kind of nevuah, that is that chayav liyo sug mesuim shal nevuah shiyiskayim al kolponim. We can never ever test a navi unless there is some sort of nevuah, some sort of the category of nevuah exists, that it's a nevuah that will definitely, absolutely come to pass. If there's no nevuah that fits that description, we would never ever be able to test out a Navi. And the Rambam calls this miyisodei adas. The Rambam says this is one of the fundamentals of the faith of Judaism, that we know that God is, you know, prophesies through man. And the Rambam writes that the difference between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other Nevuos of all the other Nevi'im is in four different ways. The Rambam lists four unique features to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in any event, what's critical for any Navi, and certainly in the case of Moshe, because the entire Torah rests on Moshe Rabbeinu, is this concept of the possibility of Hakhoshas HaNevuah, that we'll be able to contradict the Navi and determine that the Navi was a Navi Sheker. And therefore, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to have to establish that Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't have a Hakhoshas Nevuah. Says the Rambam, how do we do so? Moshe Rabbeinu lo aminu bo Yisrael. You might flip your page over here. And Mipnei ha'osel shasa. People think that we believe the Jewish faith in Moshe Rabbeinu is based on miracles that Moshe brought about. You know, all the 10 plagues in the Kriyas Yam, etc., etc. And he says, no. The Rambam says that we believed in Moshe Rabbeinu because his nevuos, his prophecies, came to pass. Einenu ro v'lo zah. Rabosa, can you imagine the following scenario? This would be a real challenge, a real test to Klal Yisrael. A prophet comes, presents himself as a true prophet, and he does miracles. He does miracles.
A miracle worker.
He walks on water. I don't know what he does. Who cares? Says the Rambam, that doesn't make him into a Navi Emes, even though he pulls off miracles. That could be all part of a test to the Jewish people. What makes him into a Navi Emes? Just like in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, his prophecies came to pass, so too, says the Rambam, Dovar Borum Fush Betorashi Mitzvah Medesli Ome Ad, if we rely on Moshe Rabbeinu, it's because we saw that everything that Moshe told us was going to happen came to pass. Like, for example, just to give you an example, at the Eser Makos, Moshe Rabbeinu predicted each one of the Eser Makos. Or at Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, he said to Bnei Yisrael, just back off and watch what's going to happen here. And then he predicted, of course, the Maimed Har Sinai, the Eser Sadibros, and the Man, and all the other miracles that happened. So all these predictions that came to pass, that came to reality, and were fulfilled, they established the proof called Einenu Ro V'lo Zar Aznenu Sham V'lo Acha. We saw and we heard the fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. That establishes the veracity and the genuine status of Moshe's and Navi Emes. And therefore the belief in Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the foundation of the entire Torah, that the Torah is absolute, this all came about because there was never a Hakhoshas Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was never a contradiction to Moshe's Nevuah. There could have been, theoretically, a Hakhosha to Moshe's Nevuah. And in fact, when Korach came with his rebellion against Moshe, perhaps he thought that, you know, maybe we shouldn't rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe he's not a true prophet. But the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Moshe Rabbeinu, and the people tested Moshe Rabbeinu, and in every case, if it was an Avul Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might decide to rescind because of Tshuva, and if it was an Avul Tova, it was absolute.
But in regards to the plagues, Moshe correctly predicted the plagues that were going to happen. Now, they were Avul for Ra, but they actually happened.
So that's an Avul Ra for Mitzrayim.
Okay, Mitzrayim, but that, right. That would still be proof, no? That would still, if you predict something that's going to happen for bad, and it happens, that's still a tick in the box, no?
No, that doesn't really prove anything. I'll tell you why. Because a Nevuah L'ra is not something that can be tested. In other words, we categorize the Nevuah, and if the nature and the quality of the Nevuah is such that it cannot be tested, meaning that even if it doesn't come to fruition, that doesn't disprove the Nevuah, then even if it does come to fruition, that doesn't prove the Nevuah. You understand? It has to go in both directions.
And why? Well, I don't get the logic of that. If it does come to pass, then it's a nevuah. It's a true.
Right,
nevuah.
But we
if it
mean,
doesn't come to pass, it means because it's a
we don't know.
Nevuah. But we don't know because again, I can predict. I can come to you and predict a nevuah l'ra from now until the sun sets. You know, that doesn't prove that I'm a Navi Emes. A Navi Emes can only be established if on one occasion I predict a nevuah that there's a way of testing whether it's a true nevuah or not. In the case of nevuah l'ra, since we don't have the litmus test to determine whether or not that was a true nevuah, we haven't established the status of the Navi. Again, let me go over it one more time, because I do want to get to the punchline today. The way we test a Navi is if he gives us a nevuah which in one possible scenario, correct, as in the aftermath of that nevuah, we know that the Navi is a Navi Sheker. You understand? I'm not saying that if he's a Navi Emes, then that's not going to happen. But I'm saying, how do we disprove? Everyone's guilty until they're proven innocent. Meaning, until you've established yourself as a Navi Emes, go fly a kite. Do you know that phrase, go fly a kite? We don't believe you.
And only in
Tova
areas.
Oh, but a nevuah l'ra, no matter what happens, we still don't know whether he's a true Navi.
The problem is that if somebody predicts something that's good and it happens, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a Navi Emes. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a Navi. It's just he was lucky, got lucky. It happens.
It's three times though. I think you have to do it three times.
Oh, so wait a minute. One second. You're asking.
If it comes true and it's for good, what does that prove? He got lucky.
Maybe he got lucky, you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it's multiple times. I think you have to do at least three times.
Oh, well, who said that? We haven't got to the
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Michael, you stumped me on that one. That's a brilliant question. I don't know if I can answer that question, but in any event, in order to establish that he's a Navi Emes and not a Navi Sheker, we have to have the possibility of his nevuah not coming to pass. You're asking on the other side, and I hear your question. I don't have an answer to that question yet. Maybe it'll come up. That really wasn't the focal point of my preparation. I realized I was incomplete in my preparation. Okay, fine. So again, I'm just pushing it for a few minutes here. I'm going to say just to get back to Yaakov Avinu. So let's see if we can do that. So again, what do we have over here? We have over here, I'm just trying to get my bearings straight, that, again, a nevuah l'ra might not come to pass because Hashem, with his compassion, might decide that he's not going to implement that nevuah. Okay, fine. Now, in the next paragraph, he says, Madua HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gila l'neviyav nevuah l'tova Shiat Sorech al pi diaso levatlo kalil mishum garmas faith. Just one second, I'm trying to get my bearings here. Sorry, I apologize. Zelishon akol, zet lo osel kidesh lo tovim izasibas akosha sanavua. Vitipo kol nevua bechlal, bechlal achas vishol. Okay. So he quotes the Levush Aryeh. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Levush Aryeh, I know he's a super commentary on Rashi, but I'm not sure who the author was. I thought it was Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, but I think he wrote a different book, so I don't know. Anyway, the Levush Aryeh is saying the following, that if a nevuah l'tova could possibly not come to fruition, then we would never be able to have hakhashas hanevuah. Does everybody see that? Again, HaKoshas HaNavuah means that there's a possibility of disproving the Navi. The only way that possibility could be verified, could be accepted, is if we assume that there's some Navuah that will absolutely come to pass. Right? That's clear. Michael, I don't think that touches on your kashya. But again, if there was no such thing as an absolute nevuah, then you'd never be able to be machish a Navi. Because you could always counter that the reason why the nevuah didn't come to pass is because of reasons X, Y, and Z. Right? Oh. So So that's what the Levush Aryeh says. So that, again, if you haven't been able to test the Navi, then the whole concept of Nevuah, he says, Yavo lahachish b'Torah b'chol divrei ha-Nevi'im. You know, somebody's going to come along and say, well, forget about the whole Torah and all the Nevi'im. I mean, you can't prove that any particular Navi or any particular Nevuah is an absolute truth because you didn't have that test. So you always have to have this test. This is what underlies the fundamental structure of Nevuah. The very foundation of Nevuah is that you have a test that there must be a certain Nevuah that's absolute, that will definitely come to pass. And that's called the Nevuah L'Tov. Also, now we get back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu receives this Nevuah L'Tova, Ushmarticha B'Kol Asher Teleh, and yet Vayira Yaakov. So we're back to our question. If it's a Nevuah L'Tova, and the essence of a Nevuah L'Tova is that it has to come to pass under all circumstances, absolute, then how could Yaakov be afraid that this Nevuah won't come to pass? It's a Nevuah L'Tova. And now we get to Rav Elio Mizrahi. So again, if you're following me in the text, we're up to the paragraph that starts Nashu. Okay, because this is going to be the punchline of today's shiur. And what does the Mizrahi say? The Mizrahi is probably the most famous commentary on Rashi. And he writes, Shema Yesh Lomar, perhaps the answer to this dilemma is that there's a difference between, essentially, between the divine promise to Yaakov and classical Nevuah. And that is that the divine promise to Yaakov was individual, was personal, was li'atzma.
Where is that?
In a paragraph that starts Nashuv Lefaresh on page Ayin Beis. You find it? Because I would like you to underline these words.
It's the fourth paragraph there. Fourth paragraph is called
Bone. Fourth paragraph on Ayin Beis. Ayin Beis is Azariah Berzon. Just kidding. Right? So he says the following in the name of the Mizrach. He says that the Nevuah of Yaakov Avinu was li'atzma. It means it was personal. V'ein b'chiluf ha'chzavas ha'novi. And if such a personal Nevuah that's only related to one individual would not come to pass and not come to fruition, that would not be a test case for Nevuah. Meaning we're opening up the possibility that even within Nevuah L'Tova, if you have a flowchart here, Nevuah L'Tova has to be subdivided into two categories. He says there's a Nevuah La'acherim and a Nevuah Li'atzma. There is such a thing as a prophecy that is not meant to be transmitted to anyone else. It's only relevant to the recipient himself. When do we say that a Nevuah L'Tova is absolute and will never be reversed? That's only a Nevuah that's given L'Acherim, a prophecy for transmission. In other words, when you read through Tanakh, basically what you're looking at in 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 cases is a Nevuah that's meant to be passed on to the people. Such a Nevuah, if it's L'Tova, must absolutely come to pass. Otherwise you're dealing with a Navi Shekhet. But there are rare cases where the Tanakh records a personal Nevuah, bless you, that's given to an individual and only to that individual.
So to Chana, when Hashem spoke to Chana, that might not necessarily have come about when he promised, or to Sarah, or to any of the...
Oh, Sarah's coming around the bend. I don't remember whether Chana, I guess, what Hashem promised Chana that she'd have children.
Yeah. So that might also not necessarily have...
Was that at the time of Eliyahu Cohen?
Yeah, yeah.
So he read the Urim V'Tumim? Or what? Well, that's nothing to do with the Urim V'Tumim. I'm trying to remember the episode, what?
That was to see if she was drunk or not.
I think Hashem say to Chana directly?
I don't remember. Okay, right. Honestly, just, open up the Shmuel.
Sure.
Sarah's coming right around the bend. So we'll have to wait 5 minutes for Sarah. Okay, that's going to be brilliant because it's very interesting that already at the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, Avram received a Nevuah that Sarah was going to mother a child.
Exactly.
And yet, in the next Parashah, which is Vayera, Sarah has questions about it. So how do we understand that? And the answer is that the Nevuah went through two stages. Stage number one, which is at the end of Lech Lecha, became a personal Nevuah that was given to Avram. And that's why the Ramban says that Sarah didn't know about this nevuah. Again, I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but a personal nevuah is meant for one individual and it's not meant to be transmitted to anyone else, and that's why Avram kept it secret. But then when the Malachim came with the Sarah that Sarah would give birth, at that point it became a nevuah. What's the language here? A nevuah
Larabim,
is that the word? A nevuah, what's he says? La'achirim, okay? And then the nevuah takes on a whole different... So let's see how that develops. So he says the following. He says, how could it be, for example, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu to take his son Yitzchak as a korban on the Mizbeach? And Avram believes in that nevuah, and based on that nevuah, he takes his son to the Akedah. But wait a second. Hashem then says, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar El Chazara, that Yitzchak is going to be the father of the great nation. So he says the following. Hanavi Atzmo Yodea Mitas HaNevuah. When an individual Navi receives an experience of Nevuah, he doesn't have to test that Nevuah. He doesn't have to question, is it reliable, is it true, or is it false? He knows it's true. And therefore, he doesn't need this test case, this mechanism by which the litmus test mechanism. And kol shinu mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yachlish emunaso. And even if there's some change in God's decision, that's not going to put any doubts into the mind of the Navi who received this personal nevuah. And therefore, Avram Avinu has full faith in the nevuah that he got from Hashem, that Yitzchak will be the father of Zerah, even when Hashem says to him, Aleu Sham Li'ola.
Then it's no test, then, is it?
Correct. And then it, as far as the nevuah itself is concerned, that, again, we have to figure out what the test is. But
exactly.
As far as the truth of the nevuah is concerned, we don't go through this mechanics of, well, will it come to pass, will it not come to pass? Because that the mechanics of will it come to pass or not is only necessary with a nevuah l'acherim. But with regard to the Navi himself, the fact that this nevuah may or may not come to pass, that doesn't put any doubts into the mind of the Navi that he is receiving the word of God. He has experienced personally the word of God. So the nevuah is real for him. It's genuine. It's not to be questioned.
Regardless.
But if I receive a word from you, George, because you claim that you had this vision, right? And you tell me, Burz, on this is what's going to happen, then I have to be able to test you out. And therefore, if your nevuah doesn't come to pass, I begin to question your status as a Navi. But not so in the case of a personal nevuah. And therefore, the Rambam says, Amal Parshas Avram Bakeda Kol Hashnein Yonim Gedol Vemi Yisoda Sadas. Okay, we're interested in the second point of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Lo Dienu, we're up on Daf Ayim Gimel on top now, Ad Kama Amiti Eitzel HaNeviyim Mashebolahem Me'eis HaShem B'Chazon. Right? Because again, the Navi claims that he has a vision, that he experienced the vision, right? And kol masheroa Navi v'mar nevuah emes v'nochon eitzel Navi. As far as the Navi is concerned, he's going to have absolutely no doubts about the truth of the nevuah. So somehow Avram Avinu is able to accept the divine command to take his son on the Akedah, at the same time believe totally in his nevuah that he received from Hashem, ki bi Yitzchak yikol chazara. And the truth is, Avram himself doesn't know how to reconcile these contradictions. But only at the end of the story, Hashem is going to reconcile and reveal how these two are true. But in any event, you would have said that, wait a second, how could Avram believe in the nevuah that Yitzchak will be the father of the nation when Hashem himself tells him to slaughter Yitzchak? Obviously, the nevuah can't be true. But the answer is that as far as the Navi, as a personal recipient of nevuah is concerned, he knows that that's true. There's no need for him to test. So he knows the nevuah is true. You have a kasha, but Hashem tells you to slaughter your son. Okay, I don't know the answer to that question. That remains Shnei Ksuvah Machishim's answer.
It's not. It's not, is it? I mean, the first one is true. Then the second one can't be true. And therefore, what was the Nisayon of Avram?
The Nisayon of Avram was to believe that even the second one could be true. I don't know how. You know, and Avram Avinu doesn't know how. But that's the faith of Avram Avinu. You know, that you know you have a question on the Nevuah which you know to be emes, and you don't know how to reconcile it. How can God command me to slaughter my son when Hashem says my son will be the father of a nation? And the answer is only going to come later on. Right now it's not revealed to Avram Avinu, but he believes in both. He never questioned the Nevuah of Ki Yitzchak Kari Chazara.
Unless he does the Cheshbon that we're doing here, that the Nevuah of Ra can be reversed, the Nevuah of the Tova can't be reversed.
In which case, which was the
first one has the precedence?
In which case, what was the Nisayon for Avram?
Right. He should just discount the second one.
Yeah.
Because
The second Nevuah
that he receives is a Nevuah of Ra, which can be reversed, and therefore it goes against also the first one, and therefore he has no test, as Michael said.
Well, no, again, keep in mind the second Nevuah contains within it a tzivui. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, there's a mandate here to slaughter your son. Avram's test is, you know, going through, and again, there may be 50 different explanations why that is such a great test. But the main point of the Rambam is that mandate did not cause Avraham Avinu to have any doubts about the original Nevuah that he was given way long earlier, that Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar El Chazara. In any event, now we come to page Ayin Gimel, in which he says that the Navi HaMakabel Nevuah L'Tova Li'atzmo, if a Navi is only receiving a personal experience of Nevuah, it's very interesting. There are certain prophecies that the recipient, the prophet, has no green light. He has no permission to pass on those nevuahs to others. Why? Because the very moment he passes on the nevuah to someone else, the nevuah takes on a different essence. In Lavdish terms, we would say it becomes a different Chefzah Shel Nevuah. It has new dinim to it. As long as the Nevuah is personal and he doesn't pass it on, transmit it to others, then it can be changed. And that's why Yaakov Avinu is afraid, Shema Yigrom HaChet. But the very moment that the Navi passes on a personal Nevuah to others, then what the principle that applies now is that Nevuah can be tested. And how can it be tested? By the fact that it might not come to pass. And this is going to, now we're going to swing back to Sara Imenu. The Ramban says, how could Sara laugh when she hears the words of the angels that predict that she's going to have a child? And the answer is, Kasher Kvar B'Parsha Kodemes, you'll ask me, but already in Lech Lecha, Hashem already promised Avraham Avinu L'Sara Ishtecha Yoledes Lecha Ben. She will bear a child, a son. It says the Ramban, Roy Shenomar Od Ki Avram Lo Gila Osa, that Avram Avinu never revealed to Sarah the original Nevuah that he received. Hanemar Lo Mitchila Vol Sarah Yishtcha Yoledes Ben. Why? Based on this Mizrahi, we have a clear answer, because as long as Avram Avinu keeps that Nevuah to himself, it becomes a personal, individual Nevuah. Once he passes it on to someone else, then the very nature and the essence and the category of the Nevuah changes, and that he doesn't have rights to do. He was never permitted to pass on a personal Nevuah to Sarah, because that would change the very nature of the Nevuah. And this is what the Rambam means in his introduction to Pirush HaMishnayos when he says, L'fish Hashemim Hivtiach Tovo Li'am Al Yidei Navi. The Rambam goes out of his way to stipulate that when a Navi transmits a Nevuah to the people as a divine promise, Humakaimo Be'echlet, then Hashem will definitely, under all circumstances, fulfill that prophecy. And why is that so? Kedesha Tis Ames Nevuah So'etzel B'nei Adam, so we can establish that the Navi as a Navi Emes. And this is what it means, called Dovashi Yotze Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova Afil Al Tnai Eino Chozer. Aval mashe pochad Yaakov achrei shev ticho Hashem b'tov yomul chachomim kasov shem yigur machet ladasha einzos elba meshe yovishe shebein Hashem l'navi. That's only because there was a personal communication between God and the Navi, but it was only meant to remain a private discussion. But heaven forbid that God would tell a Navi to promise other people, transmit the Navu to others about Litova, something good that's going to happen. And that Havtocha won't come to pass. And this perhaps is the reason why the promise to Pinchas, that divine promise that he will be the father of this bris, Kohunas Olam, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why wasn't it given directly to Pinchas when the Pasuk tells us that Pinchas himself was a Navi? So, and that's a Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. So if you turn here to page Ayin Dalin, why is it that this Nevuah to Pinchas was given to Moshe? And the answer is because once Moshe receives the Nevuah to pass it on, transmit it to Pinchas, it becomes a Nevuah that never will be rescinded. If the Nevuah had been given to Pinchas, it would remain a personal discussion between God and the Navi. And therefore, Matzinu af b'Bayasheni, ha'yukonim gedol mimenu. Even during the period of Bayasheni, there were kohanim gedolim that came from Pinchas, and the Sifri says at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Mishum shenemar al yidei Moshe shu Navi. Because since this Nevuah that God presents and bestows upon Pinchas and Briskun Solomon was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, who transmitted it to Pinchas, therefore, in all periods of Kahuna, there will always be Kohen and Gedolim who would come from Pinchas. Okay, I think at this point we'll have to take a break because it's getting kind of late, and I realize that we're almost at the end but not quite there, but I think we got the main punchline. Now, the question that Michael asked still remains outstanding. Maybe even if the Navi gives us a Nevuah L'tova, maybe by chance he got it right. So your point was that it has to be repeated three times.
I think
you're right. I just would love to see the Rambam inside. Could you possibly, David, get me a Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah? It's right behind this wall. So we looked up the Rambam here. It's Perek Yud Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah V'Halacha Beis Ubokin Oso Pa'amim Harbe. The Rambam says that every single minute detail predicted by the Navi has to come to pass, and we have to check him out many, many times. That's what the Rambam says. Now, if you look in the Frankel edition of the Rambam, in the back of the Sefer Avtech, he brings two super commentaries that are also quoted in the Sefer Alikutim. They both say that both can also Pomim Arbi in the Rambam Hainu Sholosh Pomim, which is exactly what David was saying before. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was established as a true prophet on three different occasions. So the number three here seems to be critical. And David points out that in the case of Rivka, the kasha that we were bothered by, I'm sorry, in the case of, in the case of Rivka, the kasha that we had was that since there's an Isur Gnevas Das and Yaakov was deceiving Lechora's father, how could he rely on the so-called Nevuah that Rivka received? Rivka never proved herself and established herself, as far as Yaakov is concerned, as a true Nevuah on three different occasions. That's something that has to be taken under advisement. But just to answer Michael's question before, we have two different halachas here. We have one halacha. I'm sorry. We have one halacha that a Navi is proven to be a Navi MS, and that's based on the fact that every single word that he foretold came to pass, every detail, as opposed to all those kozmin and the fakers. And not only that, both could also pomim harbe, that we actually tested him out on many occasions, maybe three times minimum.
But if you're a
now,
black cat,
just one last second, then. Yeah. But if on the other hand he tells me in a vua l'ra,
right.
and it even if it all came true
multiple times
it doesn't prove a thing. Why? Because like we saw by Yonah,
right,
Hashem with his divine compassion could decide to rescind that Nevuah.
It's just a bit tough if you're a black hat Nevuah guy kind of guy and you keep on getting it right, spot on, like let's say Moshe, 10 plagues, he got them all exactly right, when they're going to happen, all the details he got right.
Right.
Did nothing.
But the only thing, David, when you brought up the point about the plagues, I would say, just, you know, I'm not sure that I'm right, but just intuitively, that the plagues fall under Nevuah Letova, because they're for the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
So I would say that, you know, if there's a battle between two nations, one of which is the Jewish nation,
right,
then the classification of the Nevuah as either Tova L'Ra would be based on the perspective of Klal Yisrael.
Klal Yisrael.
So it's us against the bad guys, you know, our adversaries.
Right.
And if the Nevuah is to protect the Jewish nation, that's a Nevuah L'Tova. That's like peace against Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
In the case of Yirmiyahu and so on, that old Hananiah story.
Right.
So therefore, in the case of the Esar Makkos, every single detail that was foretold by Moshe came to pass for the benefit of Klal Yisrael,
right,
to protect them, and therefore Moshe has established himself.
I'm thinking about Rivka's Nevuah, like she was her Nevuah was about one nation being above the other nation going down, one goes up, one goes down. It's not necessarily bad or good. It's like you can have a neutral Nevuah. It's like this is what's going to happen, but is that for good or for bad?
In that case, you're right. I don't know how we would test that out, because even if Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom gets zapped and they get sent to Golis, that would not disprove the original Nevuah, because that could be a Nevuah L'Ra and it came to pass because the Romans are up, you know, we're down. So I don't know how you would test the Novi in that case.
Or how you even classify whether it's for good or for bad. It's more just like what will be.
Right. But basically what the Rambam is saying is that for a Novi to establish himself as a Novi Emes, this is what has to happen. Number one, he predicts good for the people of Israel. Number two, every single detail comes to pass. And number three, we have to do this over and over again, this exercise, until finally, after many bedikos, we establish that he is a Novi Emes.
Right.
So Michael is yelling and screaming if he was here, but maybe he got luck. Yeah, but
you have to get lucky three times.
Three times.
Right.
And with every single detail.
Right.
So
that's what cancels it out.
And like you said before, in every case of chazaka, you know, you might say, well, every detail might come to pass. So what's a chazaka? But that's the Torah says we rely on chazaka.
Right. Three times. There's even like expressions like that. Three times a charm, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Gimel Bamim. That's
be lucky three times.
Right. So we'll stop here. I mean, there's more, but that's enough for today.